If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. After House Republican leaders unveiled a plan today to extend the nation's debt limit for 6 weeks, the question on the minds of everyone in Washington was whether President Obama would agree to the proposal. Well, it took some prodding by White House reporters to coax a direct answer out of Press Secretary Jay Carney, but the spokesman ultimately confirmed that yes, the president would accept the offer.
The president strongly believes that it would be far preferable if Congress were to pass a bill that would ensure that the United States could pay its bills for a longer duration. But if a clean bill raising the debt ceiling for 6 weeks were to hit his desk, he would sign that.
Carney added that Obama won't agree to anything other than a clean debt limit increase, meaning a measure with no other strings or riders attached. The spokesman, however, said that Obama would agree to the Republican plan, which could hit the House floor as early as Friday, before Congress arrives at a solution to end the ongoing government shutdown, now in its 10th day. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Find out that Chief Lanier enforces laws differently in the district depending on whether you are a powerful liberal who opposes the Second Amendment rights like Mr. Gregory and Mrs. Feinstein for an average American. Hypocrites. Hypocrites all they are. Now we have a little bit from one of our advertisers here, and then we'll get back to this story. There can be nothing more outrageous to an American than the idea of an innocent person being wrongfully convicted for a crime they didn't commit. But as they say, sunshine is the best disinfectant. We're proud to welcome A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart to Tuesday nights on conservativenationmedia.com. Sam and Cliff take a hard look at what happens when the wheels of justice trample the rights of innocent Americans. These are real causes of real people who are actually innocent but who are wrongfully convicted. Join us for A Just Cause, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Dianne Feinstein is a hypocrite of the worst order, as you can see from here. This woman sits there and just looks at you, and people like her think that they're better than you. They have forgotten who they are. I mean, here's a perfect thing. I mean, they have been hitting Dianne Feinstein on this for a while now. And this right here is just further evidence, further truth that you have. Because when you, next time, when someone goes up and tries to sit there and be anti-gun, you start taking these incidents and putting them in their face, which is one of the things we try to do here on conservative, on the Second Amendment Forum on conservativenationradio.com, is to inform our listening audience about what is going on and what is really going on in this country. Because the way you beat the liberals is with facts. They can't handle facts. They cannot handle the way it works. They just can't handle it. They will come back with personal attacks. They look how they act with glee, like they acted with glee when this happened. No, this cannot be. And that's what makes it sweeter to see when they get defeated, because they do deserve to get defeated. They deserve it. They deserve defeat on everything, because it has no moral, ethical foundation by the Constitution of this nation to do what they do. It doesn't exist. It really doesn't. It is obscene what they are doing. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think. Can you imagine what would happen? How many people can start getting attacked? How much crime we get? We have other topics we're going to talk about, which will emphasize that when we talk about guns and ladies earlier. Now we have to go for a little break here, and then we will get on with the rest of our programming.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you with the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Roberts back here on the Second Amendment Forum, getting back to our little craziness in Washington here. Here's a little bit of story about Kathy Lanier. Just a little bit of fun facts you might want to know about her. Listen to this controversy. She's had a few things in her background that are very questionable, and that makes her the perfect tool for the liberals. It said Lanier came under fire in July 2009, after claiming that motorists who used GPS and iPhone technology to avoid traffic cameras were employing a cowardly tactic. She publicly criticized the plainclothes officer, Detective Michael Baylor, who drew his gun on a group of civilians during a Washington, D.C. Twitter-organized snowball fight as a response to snowballs hitting his vehicle on 19 December 2009. Video footage and eyewitness accounts have been used in the investigation. Baylor was placed on desk duty during the investigation, but returned to active duty following the completion of the investigation. Well, it sounds like we have the inmates running the asylum here. And now we got her, you know, having little, you know, it's her interpretation of the law. That's very dangerous when you have law enforcement officers who try to sit there and interpret the law rather than follow it. We got another little nice tidbit here, too, from Colorado. The blood they got in the water when they got Morse and Gerson, those two skunk senators who were recalled, they have their efforts are yielding greater fruit. Listen to this story here from Fox News. Colorado gun rights advocates plan another recall effort. Gun rights advocates in Colorado have started gathering signatures in support of another recall effort against a Democratic state senator following two successful recalls of lawmakers over votes in support of gun control laws. Recall organizers received certification Friday from the Colorado Secretary of State's office to gather signatures in the effort to recall Senator Evie Hudak, a Democrat from Westminster, Colorado, who backed the controversial gun measures, the Denver Post reported. She has infringed upon our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. She has voted to make all citizens less safe and to drive hundreds of jobs from Colorado. Mike McAlpine, a spokesman from the group behind the recall effort, said in a statement emailed to the Denver Post. Here it is, another one. Just the points we've been making over and over again. You know, you just keep seeing the same pattern in this. You just keep seeing the same pattern of hypocrisy, and you see the same pattern of attitude. It is just amazing to see how these people follow this way. In May, a different group suspended a separate recall effort targeting Hudak after they were unable to collect enough signatures. The group must gather 18,900 valid signatures within a 60-day time frame to force the recall question onto the ballot, the newspaper reported. Hudak received criticism from gun rights activists earlier this year over remarks she made to a rape victim at a committee hearing on a bill that would ban concealed weapons on public college campuses. The legislator told Amanda Collins, testified that she may have been able to defend herself during the attack at the University of Nevada, Reno, if she had been carrying her gun. Hudak responded, "I just want to say that actually statistics are not on your side, even if you had a gun. And chances are that if you had a gun, then he would have been able to get that from you and possibly use it against you." Two Republicans were sworn in last week to replace Senators John Morse and Angela Guyron, the defeated Democrats who remained firm over their support for the new gun laws. The limits on ammunition magazines and expanding background checks to private and online firearm sales were reactions to mass shootings at a suburban Denver movie theater in a Connecticut elementary school last year. Former Colorado Springs Councilman Bernie Herpin and retired Pueblo officer George Rivera took the oath of office October 3rd in front of a Senate packed with Republican lawmakers and other supporters in the gallery. The recalls last month marked the first time in state history legislators were ousted from office and reflected the continued debate over what gun restrictions, if any, are needed. The win boosted GOP's power in the Senate, narrowing the Democrats' advantage to a chamber to an 18-17 margin. Democrats control the House 37-18. Democrats will have leadership elections in the coming days to select a new Senate president. Although Democrats still control both legislative chambers, the slim margin in the Senate, the slim margin in the Senate is sure enough to make it difficult for the party to continue the aggressive policy agenda Republicans criticized them for this year. Well, how about that? How about that, people? Just look at that. If she loses, the Democrats will now have a Republican majority in the Senate there. How about that? And that's good. May you have good hunting. May they have success in Colorado to oust this clown once and for all. Now we need to go take a look at something else here. We will continue our study on the Federalist Paper number 46. If you want to follow along, we need to. If you can get a copy of this online, you want to go to paragraph 5. And our late great president of Virginia, James Madison, was a man of very of great wisdom. And the more I read this, the more I begin to see how he formulated our society and formulated how he well knew human nature and why they put the Second Amendment in the Constitution. And it says here, but in a district and very important point of view, the advantage will lie on the same side. The prepossessions which the members themselves will carry into the federal government will generally be favorable to the states, whilst it will rarely happen that the members of the state governments will carry into the public councils a bias in favor of the general government. A local spirit will infallibly prevail much more in the members of Congress than a national spirit will prevail in the legislatures of the states. Everyone knows that the great proportion of the errors committed by the state legislatures proceeds from the disposition of the members to sacrifice the comprehensive and permanent interest of the state to the particular and separate views of the counties or districts in which they reside. And if they do not sufficiently enlarge their policy to embrace the collective welfare of their particular state, how can it be imagined that they will make the aggregate property of the Union and the dignity and respectability of its government the objects of their affections and consultations? For the same reason, the members of the state legislatures will be unlikely to attach themselves sufficiently to national objects. The members of the federal legislature will be likely to attach themselves to much more to local objects. The states will be the latter, and what counties and towns are to the former. Measures will too often be decided according to their probable effect, not on the national prosperity and happiness, but on the prejudices, interests, and pursuits of the governments and people of individual states. Now, Madison right here, when the more we look into this, Madison was a big believer in states' rights and the supremacy of the individual over the government. He believed the government was a caretaker, a servant to the public, not the other way around, which is what America was trying to do when we broke off from England and when we first started our country. And I was just reading a great quote by Supreme Court Justice Wendell O. Douglas here. The Constitution is not flawed. It was put into place to keep the government off people's backs. And it is. That's exactly what it's for. It said the states will be to the latter with the... Oh, here it is. What is the spirit that is in general characterized by the proceedings of Congress? A perusal of their journals, as well as the candid acknowledgments of such as have had a seat in that assembly, will inform us that the members have had but too frequently displayed the character, rather, of partisans of their respective states than of impartial guardians of a common interest, that where on one occasion improper sacrifices have been made of local considerations to the aggrandizement of the federal government, the great interests of the nation have suffered on 100 from an undue attention to the local prejudices, interests, and views of particular states. I mean not by these reflections to insinuate that the new federal government will not embrace a more largely plan of policy than the existing government may have pursued, much less that, as its views will be conformed by those of state legislatures, but only it will partake sufficiently of the spirit of both to be disinclined to invade the rights of the individual states or the prerogatives of their governments. The motives of the parts of the state's governments to augment their prerogatives by defalcations from the federal government will be overruled by no reciprocal predispositions in the members. Were it admitted, however, that the federal government may feel an equal disposition with the state governments to extend its power beyond the due limits, the latter would still have advantage in the means of deleting such encroachments. If an act of a particular state, though unfriendly, They're unfriendly to the national government, generally popular in that state, and should not be grossly violate the oaths of state officers. It is executed immediately and, of course, by means on the spot, depending on the state alone. The opposition of the federal government or the interposition of federal officers would inflame the zeal of all parties on the side of the state, and the evil could not be prevented or repaired, if at all, without the employment of means which always be resorted to the reluctance and difficulty. Madison was right on. I mean, as we look at ourselves today, and we talked about this before, he sees this conflict that has gone on in governments and in the way governments perceive things and the way states perceive things. And it's clear, as he wrote this Federalist paper, he is outlining the threat that can happen from an overreaching government that can cause these kinds of problems to this kind of a area. Well, we have to take a little break here now, and we need to go to our sponsors. And one of the things we need to talk about is LifeLock. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm going to live and die in cowboy town.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Maxwell Roberts here on Conservative Nation Radio on the Second Amendment Forum, talking about all things with guns, firearms, and Second Amendment rights. And here we're going to have one of our segments on Gun of the Week. Gun of the Week, we have a great thing called the 30-06 Springfield, which is probably one of the most popular rifles out today. A good friend of mine just got one today at a heck of a buy on one for about $450 on GunBroker. And the 30-06 or 30-06 Springfield cartridge, or 7.62x63mm, was introduced in the United States Army in 1906 and later standardized. It remained in use until the early 1970s. The 30 refers to the caliber of the bullet, and the odd 6 refers to the year the cartridge was adopted, 1906. It replaced the 30-03 6mm Lee Navy and 30-40 Krag cartridges. The 30-40 Krag is called the 30 U.S. Army 30 or 30 Government. The 30-06 remained the Army's primary rifle and machine gun cartridge for nearly 50 years before being replaced by the 7.62-51 NATO Commercial 308 Winchester and 5.56 45mm NATO or 223 Remington, both of which remain in the current U.S. and NATO service. It remains a very popular sporting round with ammunition produced by all major manufacturers. History, a little bit of its history here. Many European militaries at the turn of the 20th century were in the process of adopting service rounds loaded with pointed Spitzer bullets. France in 1898, Germany in 1905, Russia in 1908, and Britain in 1910. So it was introduced in 1903, the 30-03 service round loaded with a 220 grain round nose bullet achieved a muzzle velocity of 2,300 feet per second, was quickly falling behind the ongoing technical evolution. It said experience gained in war indicated other nations' machine guns far outclassed American ones in maximum effective range. Additionally, before the widespread employment of light mortars and artillery, long-range gun barrage or indirect fires were considered important in U.S. infantry tactics. For this reason, in 1926, the Ordnance Corps developed the 30M1 ball cartridge loaded with the improved military rifle propellant and 174-grain, 11.3-gram bullet with a 9-degree boat tail that had a ballistic coefficient of approximately 0.560 that achieved a muzzle velocity of 2,640 feet per second with a muzzle energy of 2,692 foot-pounds or nearly 3,700 joules. The bullet further reduced air resistance in flight, resulting in less rapid downrange deceleration, less lateral drift caused by crosswinds, and significantly greater supersonic and maximum effective range from machine guns and rifles alike. Its maximum range, approximately 5,500 yards. Additionally, a gilding metal jacket was developed that all but eliminated metal fouling that plagued the early. That is incredible, incredible range right there. Firearms. In military service, a 30-06 was used in the bolt-action M1903 rifle, the bolt-action M1917 Enfield rifle, and the semi-automatic M1 Garand, one of the great guns of all time, and the M1941 Johnson rifle, the Famage Mauser, the Browning Automatic, the BAR, and numerous machine guns, including the M1917 and M1917 series. It served in the United States in both World Wars and in the Korean reloading. In 1908, the Model 1895 Winchester lever-action rifle became the first commercially produced sporting rifle chambered in 30-06. It is still a very common round for hunting and is suitable for large game such as bison, deer, bear when used at close to medium ranges. It is basically the most versatile cartridge ever designed, with hot hand loans and a rifle capable of handling. The 30-06 is capable of performing, rivaling many Magnum cartridges. Its power, combined with the availability of surplus firearms chambered for it and demand, has kept the round as one of the most popular rounds for hunting in North America. With appropriate loads, it is suitable for any small or heavy large game found in America. And it is also used to be with the Marine Corps and the Army, one of their principal sniping rounds too. So the 30-06 is a great gun and a great power to be used on the field. I mean, most people love it. It's a great hunting round. But the 308 Winchester, which they talked about with a 7.62-51 NATO, is comparable. It is very close in its power. The difference is the 30-06 is a longer cartridge, and the NATO cartridge is shorter. And the reason they did that is because it had much better performance with semi-automatic guns. And the 7.62-51 is common today in a lot of military and law enforcement type rifles. And it is also used in things such as the minigun and other pieces like that. Well, let's see what we're going to talk about also now. What else does the 30-06 year have? Oh, the next feature we want to talk about is we're going to start talking about ladies with guns, and I think this is going to take a little more time than what I thought it was because I have a lot of material here, but I think it's very interesting. We want to start talking about, you know, women with guns. And first of all, as we saw with the incident with Dianne Feinstein and Miss Hudak out in Colorado, you want to see some of the attitudes that the left has. Now, I went out and looked at some information from two of our, let's say, our liberal progressives here, and we'll read this before we have a break we've got to go to, but we'll just start putting this on people's minds. This is from something called Think Progress. How guns at home can make women less safe. This article was written on September 26, 2013. Two-thirds of women who own guns purchase them primarily for protection against crime, but studies have found that a gun in the home is associated with a higher risk for an intimate partner, violence, and murder, particularly for women. It is, in its annual review of crime data, the Violence Policy Center finds that there were 1,707 females murdered by males in single-victim, single-offender incidents in 2011 that were submitted to the FBI. The review contains some remarkable facts, both from its latest review and previous studies on the relationship between gun ownership and violence against women. For homicides in which victim-to-offender relationship could be identified, 94% of female victims, 1,509 of 61, were murdered by a male they knew. For victims who knew their offenders, 61% of female homicide victims were wives or intimate acquaintances of the killer. For homicides in which the weapon could be determined, 1,551 more female homicides were committed with firearms, 51% than with the other weapon. Let me take a little quick break here for a stop set here, and then we will go right back to this. It is NGGO. If you love the conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying the conservative message on the net for 5 years, and now they're here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, and the latest news and conservative analysis with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And now getting back to that article here, it said that homicides in which the weapon could be determined, 1,551 more female homicides were committed with firearms, 51% than with any other weapon. Black females were murdered at a rate more than 2.5 times higher than white females. One study that examined the risk factors of violent death for women in the home in three counties found that where the guns were present in the home, the risk of homicide increased more than three times. The study also found that a gun in the home is a key factor in the escalation of non-fatal spousal abuse to homicide. Well, how about that? I mean, they're just more and more like this. The Violent Policy Center concludes that women buying a gun for their protection, particularly from abusive relationships, should think twice before associating with guns with safety. For women in America, guns are not used to save lives, but to take them, the report states. Several federal laws are aimed at keeping guns out of the hands of those with a history of abuse by making protective orders and misdemeanor and domestic violence convictions basis for denying a gun purchase. But some states do not make these records available to the national database, and several record-keeping flaws make the database incomplete, difficult to interpret, according to the report. New legislation introduced in Congress would also the gun purchase prohibition to those issued temporary, not just permanent, protective orders, as well as those convicted of misdemeanor stalking crimes. Even without these reforms, domestic violence prohibited categories account for which 14% of rejected federal firearms transfers. Unfortunately, if a victim of abuse purchases the gun for his or her own protection, these laws will do nothing to help. And here's another one from the blog. Guns aren't the answer to domestic violence. And it's the same thing. The National Rifle Association and its paymasters in the gun industry may present guns as the default answer for a woman's protection. But as Domestic Violence Awareness Month begins this October, the fact tells a very different story about women and guns. Every year, more than 1,700 women are murdered by men, almost always by someone they know and most often with a gun. These and other sobering facts can be found in the Violence Policy Center's annual report, When Men Murder Women. In this unique study, we draw on unpublished supplementary homicide report data from the FBI's Uniform Crime Reports to expose the facts about women murdered by men in 2011, the most recent year from which this data is available. That year, there were 1,707 females, that's what we talked about again, in single victim offender incidents. 94% of these women were murdered by a male they knew. So here it is. It's the same kind of thing here. And here's some numbers that they have and from some of the states. Here it is. Number one ranking was in the state of South Carolina, 61 homicides. Homicide rate for 100,000 females is 2.54. Alaska was the second, where there were 7, and it was 2.01. In Oklahoma, they had 38 and 1.99. He goes on to say, one woman murdered is obviously too many, no matter where it happens. Around the country, action is being taken to prevent these killings and protect women and families. This effort includes policymakers, the invaluable work of state domestic violence prevention groups and local shelters, and the engagement of individual advocates. In addition, gun violence prevention groups like Moms Demand Action from Gun Sense in America are holding events throughout October that call on Congress to act to help women. We will continue with this. We have another commercial break we have to take, and we will get right back to this interesting topic.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic.
Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the time.
Written by Jenny Jennings, right? Contributing out a long-running women in Gunsman sought to rally women in support of gun ownership in response to the proposed legislation. She urged, there is much we can do. First of all, if you are not a member, join your local gun club. Join national organizations. Second Amendment Foundation, the folks who brought you Heller and McDonald, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Gun Owners of America, National Rifle Association, join your state protection group, and if you can, join in those other states such as Illinois State Rifle Association. Go public. Let your friends and coworkers know you are a gun owner. There is nothing belligerent about owning firearms. Rather, for years, I have been advocating that women show that they own and use guns, because women are not threatening. It softens the face of a gun owner to the general public when they learn that that sweet little old ladies and the charming young women are part of that group that the media tries so hard to demonize. Use social media. You can find lots of people and sites on Facebook and other new cooler places, I'm sure. Share the information with your public friends. If you need to start to go to me on Facebook and poach. Caution, not all my friends, even political friends, are gunnies, but I like many good gun sites. One of the current events in growing need women need the field to protect themselves, the gun industry has aggressively pursued millions of new customers women represent, from girly pink products to shooting groups for women only. It is now easier than ever for women to get involved. The industry is letting us have a lot of fun with our firearms, and women are owning it in a really cool way, Foster said on ABC Nightline News. Destiny of the Special Operations Forces Situation Report, she does not use a full name, told the Blaze about a number of specific firearms geared toward women, including Ruger's polymer frame 380 pistol, the LC-380, which we're going to talk about tonight too. Not only that, she said, but at a SHOT Show in 2013, between women's roundtable discussion and featured female speakers, it became clear that gun manufacturers are trying to find the angle in their product line that will turn a predominantly male-focused industry toward females with options so far, including smaller sizes, color options, and elements that reduce user fatigue. The flashbang bra holster in particular seems to be a popular item. It is even featured on an episode of NCIS LA. Bottom line, more and more women of all demographics are arming themselves in America. And there are three often cited reasons: the need to independently defend oneself, current events, and the fact that it has never been easier to get involved. Put it this way, women are making such rapid progress that it might be long before you think of them instead of a 50-year-old white guy when discussing gun owners. How about that? Ladies are bringing the heat, and yes, they have. And you will see it today. There are a lot more women professional shooters. I know a fellow whose wife is a Olympic shooter on 22 rifle. There are just so many women out there getting involved in professional shooting and competition shooting today. And also at the range, you will see lots and lots more. And they do fit the demographic that you see out there. It's amazing. One of the guns we talked about here was the LC-380, and that is also one of our pistols of the night. We call it the Tiny Titan, the Ruger LC-380. And it says, today's firearm marketplace is in a chaotic state. As the clerk at my local gun store tried to explain, a customer angry that the store didn't have any guns on the shelves, no, there is not a gun shortage. What we are experiencing is a customer surplus. Any firearm manufacturer selling guns designed since 1911 could simply ramp up production on existing models and be guaranteed to sell as many as they could make. Ruger is one of those companies, and I have no doubt if it had the machinery, the firm could transition all of its employees to the SR-556 rifle production and still not be able to keep up with the demand. Instead of taking that easy route, Ruger continues to come up with new models. One of the new models that made its debut this year is the LC-380. The Ruger LCP has been a huge hit on the modern-day concealed carry market, but even if its fans didn't think it was perfect, the frame is just too small to get all your fingers on it and the sights well. Some LCP owners might be surprised to hear their pistols actually have sights. Ruger responded to some of the complaints about the LCP with the LC-9, which really wasn't really an upsized LCP, but rather a really small 9mm that shared some of the looks with the LCP. Ruger says the new LC-380 combines all the popular features of the LC-9 with the LCP, and while the statement is accurate, the company means we chambered the LC-9 and 380 ACP. And the 380 ACP is really a smaller version of the 9mm. It's a slightly shorter, weaker cartridge, but it uses basically the same size bullet and can deal with this kind of a situation here. And I like this little gun. It's a great gun to have as a backup gun. It's a great concealed carry piece. It has 7 rounds. You can put it a laser on it, and you can, you know, right under the front. And I'm telling you, for a cost that will amaze you. You're talking about $350 or less, or maybe I've seen them going anywhere between $280 up to $360 with a laser on it. And that's really good. I mean, you got a small gun, which is perfect. It can fit in a purse. A woman can fit in a purse. You can put it on a small holster. It's just ideal for anybody. I mean, I think this is a great gun. That's one reason I wanted to bring that out as one of our guns. But we will continue more with this as we have more to talk about on the other side of the hour, the second hour of the Second Amendment Forum.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hello and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Time my daddy left to fight the big war, I saw my first pistol in the general store, in the general store. Well, I was 13, I thought it was a
finest thing I ever have seen. So I ask if I can have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs. Really...
You're here on a Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts, 718-305-7176. Ah, we have someone here. We have a caller here. Ah, let's take a look. Take this call here. And we'll... Hello, you're on the Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I didn't know it was me that was on. Look, I have a couple questions for you. I shoot on a pistol league, and I also shoot police pistol combat, and I have a 357 Ruger Security 6, but I was hoping to get some advice on mounting a red dot on it, but I don't want to tap into the barrel.
You don't want to tap into the barrel, and I want to ask you, how about on the top of the frame? Does it have? Now, some of these things do sometimes come tapped on the top of the barrel. Is there any natural tapping, or there is no tapping on this gun?
Well, it does. It's a Ruger. It has adjustable sights in the rear. So it's in there. We're having problems. Are you there? Max, I think we have a bad connection. Better. Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Thank you. ladies here. Flying test at 7 handguns to see which they like best, and the results may surprise you. This was just recently done. A few years ago, I was standing at a local indoor range when a young lady nervously entered the firing area, flinching in shock with every shot. She said she was there to meet a friend of hers who promised to help her learn to shoot and that she never shot a gun in her life. The lady said she was there to meet Solace and guided her friend to the stall next to me, where a scared, shaky young woman began her history with firearms by shooting a 38 special snub-nose revolver. Fast forward to earlier this year when another young lady found out my friends were into guns and wanted to learn to shoot her firearm better. Flash forward this year. A young lady went into guns and went on how to shoot, and we asked them what kind of gun she owned, and she replied, it's a short revolver, a 38, I think. A friend gave it to me, and she said it was a good gun for a woman. Well, it is. It's a 38 special snubby, a good woman's gun. Manufacturers seem to think so, building all manner of short 38 caliber revolvers with pink grips and other features that thought to appeal to female gun desires. I decided it was time to run a test. What do women really want in a defensive pistol? It is pink grips, small size, stopping power, or something else? To find out, I asked 6 women gun owners to try out a wide range of pistols because I wanted to see which general category of handgun they preferred and not bog things that... What do women really want in a defense pistol? I want to see general category and not, which a Glock versus XD or Kimber versus Parry USA kind of argument between two different brands of the same general type of pistol. The ladies who shot this test were all proficient shooters, but not experts with firearms. They come from varied backgrounds, from a grandmother to a college student. Some grew up around guns, but didn't really shoot them, but someone only introduced guns to them this year. The guns they tried out varied in size and caliber. They were as follows. North American Arms 22 long rifle revolver, a Kel-Tec P380 and 380 ACP with laser sights. I have no idea. Testing. Here we go. A Kel-Tec P3, a striker-fired 9mm Smith & Wesson M&P shield, a 22 mag Kel-Tec PMR-30, a double-action, single-action 9mm CZ USA P07, a 357 Magnum Ruger SP-101 with a 2-inch barrel firing 38 special rounds, a Springfield Army Mil-Spec 1911 and 45 ACP. I asked each woman to try out each gun by sending a dozen or so shots downrange at a D1 target about 15 feet away, then write down their thoughts about each pistol, which one they would be most likely to carry with them, which was the most fun to shoot, which they used to defend their home, and which one was the most accurate. Some had no comments on a particular firearm, but one answer was unanimous. Perhaps surprising and perhaps not, one of the women sat around in this short little 38 special as a favorite. I can't hear. I have too much. What the hell? There it is. Here's some of the guns here. Right, the most accurate was the shooter one was the PMR-30. The most fun was the North American revolver. The carry was the 1911. The home was the 1911. The comments on the 22 long rifle. It was so tight. We're out. Thank you. it was,
let's see.